Thank you for the introduction and thank everyone for being here. I'd like to start with some background information. The soybean aphid is an invasive pest from Asia that was first discovered in North America in the year 2000. Since then, it has spread to all the soybean growing regions of North America, and it is considered the most severe insect pest of soybean in the North Central region. And outbreaks do cause economic damage either through insecticide applications or through yield loss. Fortunately, there are several groups of natural enemies that have begun to utilize soybean aphid in North America, and one of these groups are the fungal entomopathogens. The pathogens I'm going to be referring to today belong to the fungal order Entomophthalales, with the most common species infecting soybean aphid in Minnesota being Pandora neoaphidus. These pathogens may be important natural enemies of soybean aphid, and they have been shown to be negatively impacted by fungicide use in other systems such as cotton and potato. The reason that we're concerned with fungicide use in soybean is the arrival of Asian soybean rust in the year 2004. Fortunately, this pest has not yet reached Minnesota. However, foliar fungicide applications are the only management option we have currently. And this would lead to a potential increase in fungicide use in Minnesota soybeans. We performed some previous research, some field studies between the year 2005 and 2006. And we found that 3 of 4 fungicide treatments significantly depressed aphid disease prevalence. However, we were unable to detect any aphid population response. So the purpose of the research that I'm going to be presenting today is to determine the effects of fungicide active ingredient and application timing on the prevalence of soybean aphid disease. We utilized microplots in which there was a single soybean plant within a cage in the field. We performed this experiment at Becker, Minnesota in the summer of 2007. And we repeated the experiment twice, once during early reproductive stage soybeans, or R2 soybeans, and once during late reproductive stage soybeans, or R5 soybeans. And these soybeans were kept under heavy irrigation. We utilized a 3x2 factorial design in which the first factor was fungicide treatment with 3 levels, either an untreated control, a single active ingredient fungicide with the active ingredient pyroclostrobin, a two active ingredient fungicide, which was a mix of pyroclostrobin and tebuconazole. The second factor was the timing of the application, and this occurred either before the release of inoculum or after the release of inoculum. And the inoculum that I released were soybean aphids that were infected with Pandora neoaphidus in the laboratory, which were then released into the cages where they subsequently died, sporulated, and hopefully caused secondary infection. In order to assess the levels of disease in the cages in the field, we performed bioassays twice weekly in which we would collect aphids out of each cage, bring them back to the laboratory, monitor them for 3 or 4 days, and determine and remove any apparently infected aphid to water auger where it would sporulate, and we would determine the identity of the pathogen via spore morphology under a compound microscope. We also performed aphid counts weekly in order to determine if we could detect any aphid population response to the treatments. So now I'd like to explain my results, and I will be explaining the results of the 2 factors of my experiment separately because their interaction term was not significant. In this case, I have the results of the R2 experiment on the left panel, the results of the R5 experiment on the right panel, and the aphid disease prevalence on the y-axis with the treatment on the x-axis. And in this case, the 2 active ingredient product significantly depressed aphid disease in both experiments, with the single active ingredient product falling somewhere in between. However, during the R5 experiment, we see that the single active ingredient product had a mean that was very similar to the control. And we believe this was due to the exceptionally conducive weather conditions that we experienced over this experiment. It was the wettest August on record in Minnesota, and we believe that these weather conditions mitigated the negative effects of the single active ingredient product. These results show the timing of application, show the results for the timing of application, and this graph is set up in the exact same way with the R2 experiment on the left panel, the R5 experiment on the right panel, aphid disease prevalence on the y-axis, and the treatment on the x-axis. And in this case, during the R2 experiment, we see a significant depression in aphid disease when the application was made prior to the release of fungal inoculum. And we did not see this effect in the R5 experiment, again, likely due to the exceptionally conducive weather conditions that we observed. I also looked at the peak aphid disease prevalence, and when I say peak aphid disease prevalence, I mean the highest level of disease observed in any plot at any time over the experiments. And the results of this are similar to the results of the total aphid prevalence, in that we saw a significant decrease in the two active ingredient product for both experiments. However, we did not see an effect of timing on this factor. In order to assess whether there was an aphid population response, we calculated cumulative aphid days from the aphid counts that we'd made over the experiments, and one cumulative aphid day is equal to one aphid per plant per day. We didn't see any significant fungicide effects on cumulative aphid days. However, we did see that the cumulative aphid days were significantly lower in plots that were treated prior to inoculum release in the R2 experiment. And I don't think this is a result, this happened because of the experiment. I think rather we experienced some contamination of predators in our cages, which were difficult to remove at times, and we believe that the before plots experienced higher levels of predation within the cages than those receiving the fungicide treatment after the release of inoculum. So we've come to some conclusions about fungicide use in soybeans. Fungicides with two active ingredients are more detrimental to Pandora neoaphidus than those with a single active ingredient. And applications made prior to the arrival of aphid disease may be more detrimental than later applications. So this could lead to the worst case for aphid pathogens. When we consider the arrival of aphid disease in the field, it's usually in mid to late August, and at this time, soybean is in the late reproductive stages. When we consider typical rust management, fungicides are going to be applied in the vegetative or early reproductive stages, because once soybeans reach the late reproductive stages, there's no economic benefit to applying fungicides for soybean rust control. And in addition, growers are more likely to use multiple active ingredient products because of resistance concerns. Each of the active ingredients in the two active ingredient product that I used in this experiment have a single site mode of action and are the EPA is concerned about resistance developing in these products since they are the only ones that we have to use against this pest. So farmers are more likely to use a two active ingredient product when treating their soybeans. With that, I'd like to acknowledge some people that helped me with the experiments and with this presentation, and of course to acknowledge my funding sources. And I'd be happy to take any questions. The pyroclastrobin is a strobilurin, and honestly, the question was, what are the mode of action of the active ingredients? And the active ingredients that I used were strobilurin and triazole fungicides. And to be perfectly honest, I can't remember the exact mode of action, but the strobilurin fungicides are protectant fungicides in that they have to be applied prior to infection in order to be effective. And the triazoles do have some curative properties in that they can be applied when disease levels are very low in a field and actually be effective. So most of these applications are going to be made prophylactically prior to the disease arriving in the field. Any other questions? Aaron?
Did you see any other animal pathogens just naturally occurring besides neoaphidus?
The question was if I saw any other naturally occurring pathogens besides Pandora neoaphidus. And during this experiment, I did monitor the surrounding field for entomopathogenic fungi infecting soybean aphid, and I actually only found Pandora neoaphidus, and I only found this infection in one of the aphids I collected over the course of the experiments. Yes?
Why do you apply your fungicides at the R5 stage? Is that recommended for?
Not generally. We just wanted to get an idea of the different weather conditions that would occur between the R2 and the R5 experiments. So generally the weather conditions during the R5 experiment would have been more conducive for aphid disease. And I was concerned that we wouldn't get any disease developing in the fields during the R2 experiment because it generally is very hot during that time. But as it turns out, I actually was able to get disease to develop. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.